Welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast, the podcast of April.
Of April.
We were going to do it yesterday for April Fool, but as a little joke, we didn't. Instead, we have, it's the second day of April.
Right, and we're trying something new.
We're trying something new, which I think isn't going to work. I can tell already.
Well, I had to talk to Shlomo, our camera boy back there, to make sure that he had the camera lined up well. Right, exactly.
Had a paid
camera technician behind the camera.
I know. So far, our listener has not sent us any advertising money.
Right. So we did buy a new studio here, which we're not in the regular studio, the regular podcasting studio. Which
you didn't write anything on the board or on the wall.
I did. It says 39 articles, Thomas Cranmer. Reformation, not revolution.
It should have said something cool, right, like what is our topic for today?
Right. So what is our topic for today?
Well, after a lot of anxious thought, surfing the internet for hours and hours trying to find something to talk about.
It's getting harder to find things to talk about.
I know, because everything's so boring.
Yeah. There's so many subjects we can hit, you know.
But we've already talked about all of them.
The depravity of culture, the Episcopal Church, the prosperity gospel, bad evangelical sermons,
bad politics.
Yeah, we should, you know, we are so critical. We should focus on positive.
That's what we were going to do as an April Fool.
Yeah.
We were going to be positive.
But who would listen to us then?
We were going to lose our listener.
Exactly.
So instead, we are still going for the usual negativity, and we found a great article called It Is Time for the Daughters of the Lord to Arise.
This is from Charisma Magazine, which...
It's a great magazine.
You should read Charisma Magazine.
The listener should read.
Yes. This is... Oh, look. It's our Preventing Grace podcasts.
This is what happens.
Yeah, right. This is what I
have to hold two dogs.
The mascots.
Wherever I am, I have two dogs sitting on me.
Right.
So.
Is he going to lick himself now?
Yeah. No, stop.
Yep, there he is. All right, so.
As usual, it's pretty uncomfortable.
This, I just think we should launch into this because there's no real introduction here.
Okay.
As I've been praying about this new Hebrew year, 5,776. Now, what is it about? Have you noticed this?
I know why you're laughing, because they do count. You can count time.
Yeah, they do. Yes,
but Charisma Mag shouldn't be following
the
Hebrew
year.
Why?
Yeah, but there's this new movement among... I guess
it's not new. It's
among
it's
charismatic Pentecostal people to discard the Christian dating system and go right back to the lunar calendar of the Old Testament. It's like... And then even celebrate the Old Testament feasts, right?
Why wouldn't you?
Well, they become time. Chris Rosewood was talking about. They have these. That's whenever the next Jewish feast is. That's the next time to get your new anointing. So you better put in your money and get the special grace that God's pouring down from heaven during tabernacles or during Passover. Yeah, it's as if the
Jubilee.
New covenant hasn't actually happened, and we.
And we're back in the Old Testament.
Right. So instead of 2,000 some odd years before, after Jesus dies, we're still back in the Old Covenant time system. 5,776 years, I guess, since creation. I'm not sure how they do
it. Oh, really?
I'm not sure how they...
Is that...
Or maybe that's from the Exodus.
No, that's got to be from the Exodus.
Okay, that's from Exodus, sorry.
Because...
Yeah. So anyway, this person... let me get her name first. It is a her. Shiflett.
I don't think you should implicate the guilty... You should have let them remain anonymous.
Right. So the Lord revealed some amazing things. So this is directly from the Lord.
Okay.
We're about to hear a word. Amazing things that I want to share. Since we've now moved from 5,775 to 5,776, and to see what this year may hold prophetically, we look at the number 6 to see its meaning in Hebrew.
I thought it was the number of man.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
I'm pretty sure this is bad.
Right.
This is probably the apocalypse, or the Satan is coming.
Yeah. So if we're not going to be, if we're not going to use the Jewish year, we should look at the word number nine. What's the number nine mean? Does the nine have any prophetic significance?
No, but
like 2019.
No, it has that to have
some.
Mean anything.
There has to be some prophetic.
No, because it's the Jewish year. Why are you confusing?
No, I'm just saying it's Christian as non. You know, if we're going to apply this into Christian era time.
No, but it doesn't.
We shouldn't do that.
No, it doesn't matter what you're talking about. It's the number six that matters.
Well, I'm just saying, if we want to write an article and get it published at Charisma,
the Lord,
do you want money?
In his mercy, arranged that the numbers of the years would go from 5,775 to not 5,777, but
so
5,776.
There must be something really significant
that's
about
important.
That. Right. And in fact, the word number six, she says, is vav, a word meaning peg. Okay, remember that, peg or hook.
Okay.
That's very, very important. As I was studying this, the Lord immediately brought...
Don't shake your finger at me.
As I was studying this, the Lord immediately brought back to me the story of JL. See, do you see the connection?
But
peg.
I get it.
JL, it's clear. I mean,
I get it. It's like when
how much
children...
more
watched
prophetic
Pilgrim's Progress this weekend. And the only thing they said since they came home from watching the animated Pilgrim's Progress was, get it? His name is Christian. Get it? Get it?
I'm
and
sure
he met
a great
somebody
movie,
named
there's lots of spiritual
Faithful.
Truths that they are being
get
sarcastic
it? He was carrying a burden.
Pilgrim's Progress is a classic. Don't come here to the Pilgrim's
Progress.
That's
saying, if you're going to say get it, then...
You're really an evil person. This is Pilgrim's Progress is a progress. It's a great
I know,
book
but did
with
it have
deep
to be
spiritual truths.
To an animated movie?
Yes.
Okay.
What's it? I wonder if it was like the actual book, word for word.
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, you should watch it.
Yeah. All right. Be quiet. I'm reading. So as I was studying this, the Lord immediately brought back to me the story of Jael in Scripture. So which you can read about in Judges 4. In this epic event, the Lord delivered the Israelites out of the hands of the oppressive Canaanites, and he did so in a remarkable way. He used an unknown woman who is not even an Israelite to defeat the head of the Canaanite army, a man named Sisera. The Bible says the Canaanites had harshly oppressed the children of Israel for 20 years. The Israelite army, along with their leader Barak, had come
up... Okay, you got to stop saying Barak. If you're a proper Christian, you're going to say Barak.
No, it's Barak.
Barak. Like, real...
It's Habakkuk and Barak.
No. No, it's papyrus, not papyrus.
I said papyrus.
Barak.
I said...
But only after I corrected you. And it's Barak.
No, it's... You can... I used the plural of papyrus in my sermon. I said papyri, which is what it is. You don't know the plural of papyrus.
It's Barak.
Papyrus, whatever.
Real Christians say Barak.
No, they don't. You don't know what they say. That's your tradition. Your received tradition. My tradition is Habakkuk and Barak. Barak had come up against the army of the Canaanites.
I actually can't go on if I keep saying Barak.
And began to drive them back. As a result, their leader Sisera fled on foot and came to the tent. So far, it's basically following the biblical story. Very good.
We could have skipped this, actually.
Okay, so you want me to go faster?
No, it's fine.
As a result, their leader Sisera fled on foot and came upon a tent of a woman named Jael, who was a Kenite, not an Israelite. As he lay down to rest in her tent and fell asleep, this audacious woman took a tent peg and drove it through his head. Although her tactics were unconventional, they were extremely effective. She used what she had to defeat the enemy, and in doing so, her name is forever blazoned in biblical history as a hero. In killing Sisera, she made it possible for the Israelites to win the battle. As Scripture tells us, that from that day forward, Israel grew stronger and stronger against the Canaanites until they utterly destroyed them. Jael used the only thing she had, which didn't seem like much, but it destroyed the head in more ways than one.
Get it?
The head.
Get it?
Yeah. See?
it's in scare quotes.
Yeah.
Get it?
Yeah.
He pounded it through his head.
Head.
But he was also the head of the army. Did you
yeah,
get it?
Yeah,
get
I do.
It?
I do. I do. I get it. I'm wondering. Well, no, this can't be there.
Well, so far it's not bad because that's basically the story. And
okay,
that,
so yeah,
she told
the story.
Should have been the end of the article.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right. But then she goes on and says, the spirit spoke to me.
So, I didn't know why you're laughing, because that's unkind. Just because doesn't talk to you doesn't mean that the spirit isn't talking to this woman in the year 5,776. But see,
the thing is, the spirit spoke to her as she was reading the Bible. When she was reading the Bible, that was the spirit speaking to her. That was it. But now she's finding something else the spirit is saying. The spirit spoke to me and said, I will be raising up many in this year 5,776 who will use what I have placed in their hands, parentheses, the tent peg, to destroy the plans of Satan and take out the head of the enemy who has kept them oppressed and defeated the enemy who is waging war in their family, their city, and their nation. So the story of Sisera, it turns out, according to the Holy Spirit, is really about you. It's about you taking your tent peg and driving it through the head of your enemy. Who's your enemy?
Who's the head, though? Because head is always in scare quotes here. That must mean something special.
Well, who do you
think? The head... No, but do they mean like the head?
I think they mean...
Is that like a theological term?
Head? I think it's like the spiritual forces of darkness that wage war against Christians.
I think so. The head of the enemy. She keeps saying the head in more ways than...
I wish she would be specific.
Because I think it means something like the secret place. I've been watching a lot of women's Bible studies on YouTube, and the secret place isn't just the secret place in Psalm 91. It means something special.
You need to go to your secret place?
Yeah, it's like a special, more important thing that I've been watching a lot of YouTube trying to understand, and I think that head means something else. It doesn't just mean the head of your enemies, like...
Well, no, I mean, like, your spiritual enemy, Satan, like a demon. Demons, don't you? Like, see, in this way of thinking, really, different regions have different demons as head over it. And so you've got to go do battle against these demons by taking your tent peg and spiritually driving those demonic heads.
I mean, I wonder how it is that you do that.
Well,
like, what is your...
She's going to say... But, I mean, it is important that she specifies, because if you're not in this context, you don't know what she's saying. You could think that she's gotten a revelation from God that you're supposed to take a tent peg and
kill your enemy. Like,
who don't you like? Who would you like?
I mean,
who is your
like
enemy?
I have would you like some enemies around that I should
sneak into their house
away with.
Give them milk first, though, if you're going to be like J.L.
The text isn't about Jesus or God.
No, it's not. It's about you.
It's about Satan, actually. Right.
So now, essentially, all the elements are there to make it about Jesus, aren't they?
Why are you saying that to me? Like, I haven't actually written about this text.
Because we're talking to other people, not just...
No, it's like, you don't need to be like, ooh, guess what it's really about? Because if you literally read the internet, you know that it's about Jesus.
Yeah.
That's what...
Why are you looking at me like that? Because wouldn't it be nice to, like, flesh that out over a conversation rather than just being mad at me.
It's the cover of my dead book.
Yeah, I know. So
Satan drove a tent peg through my book. Doesn't even exist. You can only buy it for $90 on Amazon.
So are you suggesting that JL is a type of Christ?
Sure.
Crushing the head of the serpent?
Yeah, the head of the serpent.
It's or like is JL Mary? If you're a Roman Catholic, JL is Mary.
Oh, yeah. No, JL is a type of, well, I don't know, Mary and Jesus all wrapped up into one badly defined spiritual thought.
Badly. What are you talking about?
Like if you join them together. If you make Jesus and Mary into one thing, then you have... Yeah.
Although you could say the seed coming from the woman crushes the head of the serpent, and that could be...
It could be Mary.
A picture of Mary before...
Or you could just keep your focus on the tent peg.
Yeah.
Because that's better.
Yeah, because something else was nailed too.
I don't know what it was, but there were some nails. And...
right. Somewhere. It's somewhere in the Bible. Yeah.
So I can't remember what it is. Anyway, it's not about that. It's about waging war in your family, your city, and your nation. Oh no, sorry, not you. The enemy who is waging war in their family, their city, and their nation. Right.
So that was part of what God said. But he also began to show me that many of those he will be raising up will be the most unlikely ones, those whom no one would suspect, who have no rank or title. He will use them to destroy the enemy who has kept so many bound for so long. So this is going to be a remarkable year. And we're going to see like women rising up, the daughters of the Lord rising. and doing amazing things.
I'm reading Good Omens, and the angel and the demon are supposed to, well, it's going to be the apocalypse. They got word on high that it's going to be the apocalypse and the world is going to end. And they're really sad because they like the world and they don't actually want it to end. But they're supposed to find the Antichrist. Anyway, the demons who were in charge of making sure that the Antichrist grew up properly, the nuns of Satan or whatever, accidentally mix up the babies, and they have been training the wrong child to be the Antichrist. And the actual Antichrist is like, they can't find him right now. They're looking everywhere.
What show is this?
It's a book. Well, it is also, it's on Amazon. I'm reading the book and then we can watch it together because there's things that blow up. But
it's Terry, where's it, Terry Pratchett?
It's Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman. And he began to show that he would raise up the most unlikely ones. In that case,
very unlikely. Someone who is not to be the Antichrist, and it turned out to be.
They accidentally swapped the babies. The nuns of Satan, the Satanist order of nuns, it's very sweet, but couldn't. I'm sure very Satan incompetent. So. That was off topic.
I don't even know where to go from that. That's I'm trying to.
Well, I'm just saying it's applicable here.
Yeah.
Because you will not know who to suspect. Who is it that's going to be dragging their tent peg around, trying to drive it through the skull of Satan? It's not going to be the person that you think it is. It's going to be somebody that you would never think of is going to be that person.
Right.
I think now would be a good time to stop and name some people.
who are the most unlikely that we would ever expect would do anything this profound?
With their tent peg.
Right. Yeah, so let's...
Okay, just go on.
So, they may not seem to be the strongest or the most qualified, but they will obey the Lord and use what is in their hand. They will forever change their destiny, their territory, and their generation. See, that's a territory thing. See, they've got this, there's a region, right? So Binghamton, that's your territory.
I'm not. That's...
If you were right.
People would expect me. It's clearly not about me, because I think people would expect me to pick up a tent peg and do away my enemy. That's the kind of negativity that I carry around with me. It's kind of, it's not me, it's you.
Nobody. No, I'm not a woman, though. This is about women. You have to obey the Lord and use what is in your hand. What do you have? What do you have?
Well, right now I'm holding my...
Your computer.
My tablet, so... I'll blog.
You blog, and you destroy... You destroy the enemies.
The enemies.
With your gold-plated...
mean words. With all my mean, angry words.
This is... Okay, this
is
good.
I want to change my destiny.
This is coming true before our eyes. Okay. We're seeing this fulfilled in 2776. Oh, yeah, all right.
Okay.
No.
It's time. Oh, you're right.
Also felt the Lord saying... she felt the Lord saying. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it?
I think you should hear the Lord saying. Right. Like, saying implies like an auditory...
Yeah.
Is that a
feeling or...
I mean, I feel the Lord saying that I shouldn't do any more laundry this week.
There's a lot of pressure put on this, isn't there? Like, if you don't have... I mean, the fate of many who are bound for too long rests on the jails out there, the spiritual jails. If they don't obey the Lord and pick up whatever is in their hand and crush and pierce the head of the enemy, all those who are bound for too long are going to be, it's going to be their fault.
Really bad.
Yeah. So I've also felt the Lord saying that just as he did then, He is especially raising up courageous women for such a time as time as this.
Okay, I'm sorry, but you can't have both JL and Esther in the same thing.
Yeah.
You can't have it for such a time as this.
Well, but
what? That was, no, you gotta do a different phrase. You can't have that.
Can you have a hegemony and protection?
No, that was me. I'm going from now on to pray a hegemony protection. Because I just want to. I feel the Lord calling me to pray for a hegemony of protection. For such a time as this.
Yeah.
It is time for the daughters of the Lord to arise and take their place in His army. We must fight the our soul's enemy who has kept us oppressed and who is seeking to destroy us as well as all those around us.
I wonder if there's like somebody else who could help.
No, I don't.
I mean, I wonder if we're fighting, Satan. Is there someone else who might?
You know what? One thing that Christians are great at? Huh. Unity. We must join together we must take our place in His army.
Right.
And rise up. So I bet that a lot of Christian women will agree enough to join in an army and...
Yeah.
Defeat our enemy.
See, I mean, because like, there's someone said, like, were we in our own strength to confide?
No. Our power? No. That's not a thing.
But with the right man by our side.
No. Oh, well, no, that's a man, too, so you need to...
Yeah, but they're just talking about Jesus.
I know.
Yeah,
just happens like, to be a man. You just...
He identifies as a man, did you know that?
It's too bad for him. I think you could probably only have Jesus anymore if he would agree to be a woman and like self-identify as a woman, and then a lot of people would become Christian.
It's all about we can't.
You know which army of women that I really love?
Which one?
The Yazidi women who took up arms and went after ISIS after they had been.
Well, that was very cool. Yes.
Yeah, that was the best
army. I don't like women. Fighting and
I
combat.
Think we should talk about that longer. Let's talk about women in combat. Let's just stop here. I'm kidding.
Well, they take up their things in their hands. I'm glad they did that. I would much rather.
Yeah, I thought that was a great
army
of women. I'm on their side. And
so anyway, who's going to help you if you don't help yourself, really? You got to help yourself against this great enemy. So you need to rise up, you JLs, and take your things in your hands and pierce his head. Because, man, there's no one out there who can really do anything about this except for you.
Okay, well, God is helping. That's the next part. The Lord has given us His tools. And though at times they may not seem like much to fight with, He will show us how best to use what He has given us to destroy the head, quote, head of the armies that are fighting us against us. I wonder what the tools are that the Lord has given.
Yeah.
I mean, because it doesn't say here.
I bet it has to do with decreeing
like,
and declaring something.
It's not probably going to be church attendance.
The sacraments.
Proper discipline.
Expositional preaching.
Cleaning out the church cupboards again.
Right.
Loving your neighbor. No. None of that. Okay. Something else the Lord began to show me about this story in Judges 4 is that Jael was alive during the reign of Deborah, the judge and prophetess.
Wait, hold on. Something else the Lord began to show me about this story in Judges 4 is that Jael was alive during the reign.
I don't know. Could you not get that from the text?
I mean, you could probably read
I knew that from reading the text.
I mean, he did show it to you, but it was
I was reading it with my eyes. Right. Or I was listening to it as it was read to me by somebody on the internet.
Right.
The Lord began to show me. Well, that's true because when I'm reading, quote, listening to the Bible when I'm half asleep in the morning, the Lord begins to show me a lot of things. Like, you get a really disjointed view of the scripture when you're falling asleep as it's being read and you come in and out of consciousness. So you might go to sleep in Hannah's prayer and then wake up in the violation of Tamar.
Oh, that's
like
nice.
I might have slept through a whole two books one morning.
Yeah.
and the Lord began to show me that it really is wretched to be a woman in Israel at that point in biblical history. So I'm sad that the Lord didn't show her anything about Tamar and Amnon. Like, where was Tamar's tent peg?
Right. That's,
you know, that was an enemy situation.
Well, that daughter of the Lord did not rise up.
I mean, but she spoke prophetically. She spoke quite sharply, you know, and with prescience to Amnon about what wicked thing he was doing. And yet, where was the Lord's anointing?
Right.
Prophetness.
Who brought up Tamar recently? Was that?
It was me.
Our daughter? I thought our daughter did.
No, that was the one in Genesis. Our children have a hard time making it out of Genesis.
Yeah.
They start, and then they... no, I brought it up because
it's
I thought that...
good thing you're in the Leviticus Bible study, right?
that Tamar is an interesting counterpoint to the woman caught in adultery. Maybe that's what... because one of the children asked something, like... I can't. No, they wanted to know what
I think
we were talking about
Tamar at lunch, yeah.
And because the woman caught in adultery, if she had been violated, if it wasn't consensual in our consensual age, she could have torn her sleeves, put her hand on her head, and gone out weeping and wailing.
Yeah.
And that would have been the sort of formal way to say that something terrible had happened.
Right.
But that's not what happened.
And in assuming that part of the law in Deuteronomy is that, I think it's Deuteronomy, that if she cries out
then,
in a city,
then
everyone
should have heard
they're you're in close quarters in Jerusalem. And so...
So, but it's quite shocking because the woman caught in adultery and John shouldn't... I mean, it would be better if she had been violated because that... then she could have been believed and the victim, and that would have been a better story
for us
than for today. Us than for her to be a willing participant
consensual.
In something like that.
Right. But I think it's a power... I don't know why you'd want that, actually.
No, you don't ever want that.
No, I mean, I don't know why people want to read it that way.
Yeah.
Because it's so much more comforting to think that this woman did something horrible.
It's for
and
both.
Is forgiven.
Yeah, it's for men and women in this way. It's for every person who does a bad thing.
Right.
I just thought it was interesting because you have Bathsheba and Tamar in the life of David. And then you have the woman at the well and the woman caught in adultery. And, I mean, it's just the women are very interesting. And their sexual histories are terrible and fascinating.
Yeah.
And
Jesus doesn't treat them as even the worst ones as
yeah,
as
I mean
worthless
it's not yeah,
or
it's not
stained beyond.
It's like Bathsheba
redemption
is
and,
part
yeah,
of the line
yeah,
of
yeah.
of Jesus.
Right.
So yeah, anyway though, so seriously, or where was the tent peg for the Levite's concubine? Like, she had serious enemies. And, mm-hmm. I mean, that's just this horrible way to read this text, is to say God will put a tent peg in your
it's
hand.
Not, I mean, it's...
Because sometimes you're going to be overcome by evil, and
right.
and there's no...
Well, that's all Pentecost... I mean, this, the new brand of charismaticism, Pentecostalism, is all about immanentizing the eschaton. You all the glories of heaven should be yours right now, and if you and no, you shouldn't be suffering.
There's no
you
more.
Shouldn't be,
yeah.
You're a child, or
but that's. I mean, if you have real enemies, there's an implied, true suffering.
Well, but if
but
you,
you
are
just,
suffering, you just haven't risen up and obeyed the Lord and taken
right.
the tools that He's given you.
Right.
And destroyed the enemies. So.
So.
Where were we here?
Deborah, the Lord. Laid it on her heart that
oh,
Deborah
yeah.
was also.
Right. Something's telling you that like Deborah
was
alive.
That Deborah was alive
this
during this. I can't remember why I think that.
Right. Deborah was truly a prophetess of the Lord, but she was also a judge, which means she carried an apostolic anointing. What?
Because the apostles.
Wait, Deborah truly was a prophetess of the Lord, but she was also a judge, which means she carried an apostolic anointing.
So did Samson have an apostolic anointing and Ehud
what?
And like the Jephthah.
What does that mean? What is that?
Jephthah's apostolic anointing was amazing. All those judges, did they all have apostolic anointing?
I don't know what they mean by this.
What? There's no apostles.
Right. Well, but in the apostolic reformation,
everybody's in.
There's lots of apostles. You have to send off your registration fee.
Oh, and you get to become an apostle.
Yeah, you send it to Mike Bickle, I think, and he sends you a documentation, a record recognizing you as an apostle.
Okay. Well.
So,
would you like to be an apostle? Does he also send you a? Does he send you?
You can
a
be just like Junia. You can be.
Okay. This is why the Israelites were able to throw off the oppression of the Canaanites during her lifetime, because she had an apostolic anointing.
Yeah.
Is that also why, like, Gideon, is that why he threw off? Not only did Deborah prophetically hear what the Lord was saying and what was coming, she equipped and charged the Israelite army with its leader.
You know why she prophetically heard what the Lord was saying? Because he actually spoke to her in audible words. He said, Deborah, I want you to do this.
No, he laid it on her heart. And she equipped the Israelite army and its leader, Barak, to go forth in battle and fight for their freedom. I thought that he was the leader of the Israelite army and he was whining.
Yeah, that's why Deborah had to take over, because she was...
Didn't she say, well, he made her go with him.
Yeah, he was...
And then she said, I'll go with him, but then you're going to be humiliated, which she was. But it wasn't a good thing that she had to go with him because he was whining.
Yeah, the God raised up Deborah because he was not being...
He was not playing the man. He was being a baby.
right.
And he didn't want to go. I always loved that.
Yeah.
That's how she equipped him, was by going along.
and like doing the same.
She didn't. In addition to the women the Lord is raising up, the Lord will be placing many men of God into leadership positions alongside these women.
So he's going to be raising up a generation of
Bereks. Oh, that's great. You get Deborah, but you also have to have Barak.
That's
oh,
horrible.
Goody. That's what we need for men. They like Deborah and Barak. I feel like we already have the generation of Barak.
This is proving astoundingly true.
We've had it for 75 or 100 years. They like Derek. Deborah and Barak will be able to listen and heed the voice of the woman of God that he has anointed for this hour. Oh, I want you to hear my voice. They will not care who gets the credit. Yeah, that's because it was humiliating and shameful that a woman killed Sisera. That's the whole point of the story.
Yeah.
Is that everybody was shamed because he didn't want to...
Yeah. Barak wasn't hero in the story. He was a weak man.
Yeah,
and he.
It's horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So he's the quintessential guy, 40-year-old in his mother's basement.
In his mother's basement, so his mother has to go into war with him.
Yeah.
They will have no prejudice. Oh, that's good. And will be able to discern those whom the Lord has appointed to be apostolic and prophetic leaders in the kingdom during these last days. Okay. Jael was not an Israelite, but she was close enough to the boundaries of Israel to most likely have heard of the judge and prophetess Deborah. I do not believe it is by mere chance that the Lord used a woman of no consequence to kill the head of the enemy army. During the very time when the entire nation of Israel was being ruled by a woman. Well, no, it wasn't by chance, because the Lord said that he would, in fact, do that, because Barak was such a coward. It's right, not right. Because...
But she just said in the previous paragraph, though, if we're going to be good Baraks, we're genuine, we'll recognize who the women are who God has anointed.
Okay.
And submit to them.
Okay. Or drag them along into battle.
Right.
Go on. Interestingly, as a little aside, I do think that many women are in battle, spiritual battles, and are ill-equipped by the church to face any kind of enemy in the world. Like, so the church actually doesn't equip women who are on the front lines of battle. Unlike being the Yazidi women who get all the, who get training and weapons, Christian women get to go into battle with Women of Destiny Bible studies, where they learn that they need to spend more time in their secret place. And
is that what you mean? Did you watch a Woman of Destiny
Bible study? Yeah, I've been watching Women of Destiny Bible studies. And
why did you tell? We should have been reviewing Women of Destiny.
Well, Bible I was studies. In the middle of one, and you made me stop. I had to be
that's
the Deborah
perfect,
to your parents.
That's perfect. Preventing Grace podcast.
I know, fodder, but I've got to watch like several of them. So if that's your weapon, good luck to you, because I think the enemy has already won. If that's what you have, yeah, maybe women could be given enough teaching so that they don't like.
Like on how to hear God's voice?
No, like in the scriptures.
Oh.
So that they don't say things like, I felt the Lord tell me that Deborah was a prophetess. Too bad she only has to listen to the voice of God. Nobody will like let her go to school or anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Where was I? It was not mere chance. In fact, Deborah even prophesied that the Lord would use a woman to destroy the enemy army. She tells Barak, you've messed me up, the leader of the Israelite army. This is also bad writing. that she will go with him into battle at his request, but also tells him there will be no glory for him because Sisera will die at the hands of a woman. Okay, well, that's in the text, so
that's good.
That's how she would know it.
The Lord told her.
I believe Jael was only able to have the courage and wherewithal to strike a fatal blow to the enemy because she had already heard a mighty woman of God who ruled. No, I'm pretty sure that's not in the text, and so she can't possibly know that. We have no way of knowing if Jael knew about Deborah.
Well, but she heard this from the Lord.
And I'm pretty sure that even if she knew about Deborah, that wouldn't be like,
you know what?
Oh, you know what? There's a woman.
I can tell.
There's a woman. So I'm going to pick up my tent peg, because if it was a man, I'd just be like, oh, whatever. I'm not going to kill the head of the army. But because a woman is in charge.
Well, you're demonstrating right now is you don't have an apostolic anointing.
Okay.
Because if you had an apostolic anointing, what you'd be doing is recognizing that this is revelation here.
Okay.
That this is actually what happened.
Okay.
The Lord is giving us insight into why Jael did what she did. It's because she was spurred on
like,
by the example of Deborah, the leader. And you, if you would just be a Deborah yourself.
Oh, I'll
you
be
would
a
have
Deborah.
The Deborah anointing.
I believe
then,
me.
Then all the young,
all the young women.
Women that shouldn't be anything are going to be lifted up out of their.
The inconsequential women are going to be lifted up out of their. To an army.
Yeah, to follow you with your tent peg. They have their tent pegs. You're going to be with your Barak. Who's me, I guess.
Okay. It's good though that Barak doesn't have an anointing, apostolic anointing. Anyway, poor man. Okay, the Lord told me. Did I already read that? No, the Lord told me that he is also raising up Deborahs in this hour who will lead an entire army and put the enemy on the run. They are a hybrid warrior. Is that like a movie?
This sounds like a movie. The
a hybrid
Christian movie.
Of apostolic judge and prophetic leader. These women will raise up many Jaels under them. Who will strike deathly blows against the enemies in their own territory and sphere of the kingdom.
I'm sensing that you're a Deborah. I'm just getting that.
I think we knew that though. Like, I think we knew that that's who I was.
Yeah.
And it's just a confirmation.
So, yeah. You see an army of Jael.
Okay. These are the daughters of Deborah, and this is their year. Armed with the hammer of authority and the peg of purpose.
That's the peg. You thought the peg was your computer. It's purpose.
Oh, it's purpose.
Your peg is... Where is your purpose?
I don't actually have a purpose. They will pursue their
destiny. You
have
to find your purpose.
And
your
mark.
Destiny, your peg... You're just woefully...
I don't have a purpose.
Inept. Because you don't have a peg of purpose, and you don't have...
But I have
Do you even know what your destiny is?
The apostolic anointing.
Do you know what your destiny is? You don't even know, do you?
No, I don't.
You haven't spent time thinking about your
But
destiny.
what's yours? What's your destiny?
Well,
Your
I don't know. I'm Brock. I don't have to know. I'm waiting for you to leave me.
Oh my gosh. It's too bad. Like, it's a bad way of reading the
yes.
Bible. It's dismal.
Yeah, that's right.
If you have to find your peg of purpose.
Well, and then again, a lot of pressure. Everything depends on you. If you if 2006 doesn't, I'm sorry, 5,776 does not turn out to be the way it should be, if things go badly in your life, it's because you haven't risen up and fought Satan on your own.
On your own. Me, like, remember how that woman in the Bible fought Satan on her own? And, oh, she had a barrack. Boy, did she.
She
what
did
was
great.
His name? Did it start with an A?
Yeah, she did great.
And
did,
the second letter was
they both
D.
Did great. They both allied together and joined their forces with their...
And they rose up a generation of Baals. Okay.
Yeah.
That's too bad. Well, I think this has been good.
Yeah. I've enjoyed it.
We are trying to change our podcasting time.
Yeah, this is Tuesday evening. We might not post it tonight. We'll post it maybe tomorrow.
I don't know.
But
we'll have to.
We've got a different. We're trying to format ourselves differently. Not format. Format's the wrong word. We're trying to change our schedule.
We're trying
personally.
To, yeah.
And preventing.
I have
podcasts.
This dumb idea that if I just make a better schedule, I'll be able to write more things.
Yeah.
But I think I've discovered that that's not true. I don't have a Deborah anointing or a JL tent peg. Basically, I just have, like, sleeping in and then wandering around and not getting anything done.
You get lots of time. You do lots of things.
Yeah, not that
I
many
feel,
today, though.
I feel
though.
Like you get lots of stuff done.
You feel like
yeah.
the Lord laid it on your heart that I get plenty
you do. I
done.
I see you bustling around doing stuff.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, I think I should go help you, but then I thought...
And you're like, no, I can't do that.
I'm Barack.
I'm just gonna, like...
What can I do?
Back. What can I do? Well, so, I guess we'll try this again another time as
I'm
well.
I'm gonna go tell Shlomo to turn the camera off. Okay, so
okay,
he looks like he's just ignoring what's going on here.
He doesn't even care.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go grab
you
him.
You think we have, like, a lot of... people who could do the technology.
We have a studio, yeah. We should have a studio audience.
We should have our yeah, little
our
army
children.
Of JLs with their tent pegs.
Right.
And then we can apostolize them.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to get Shlomo and
okay,
turn this
thing. Okay, well, until next time, thank you for listening.